Hey, Dutch. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Shall we turn over here for our devotional here this morning to the 11th chapter of John. The 11th chapter of John. That's on page 1130. Amen. That's what we tell the Jewish people, you know. When we first started with the Scopia Bible, we put it into their hands, and we still do. But I remember the first time that we were transferring from the Old Testament to the New Testament, I said, now we are turned to the New Testament. The unbelieving Jews just closed them. And I said, what's the matter? I said, we never read the New Testament. So that taught us. So we never say new. We say page 1130. They don't know whether it's new, old, or middle. Amen. All right. Now, here we have here in the 11th chapter, and beginning there with the 19th verse. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. And she went to her sister secretly and said, The Master's here and calleth for thee. We do know this is the account of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. We know that the Lord, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, delayed his coming because he wanted the power of God to be demonstrated there. He knew that he would die, but he knew also that he raised him from the dead. All this was for the glory of the Lord, and therefore, as the introduction here, we just say this, that Christ could have come on call, but he didn't. Many times, you know, we begin to pray and we think the heavens are brass, and we begin to say, why doesn't the Lord come and deliver us or answer this prayer significantly right now, immediately? Why doesn't he? Now remember, we always want to say this, there are reasons many times that God does not answer our prayers immediately. The Lord may delay, but he's never late. We find out that even Daniel, years before, had prayed 21 days. And finally the angel came and said, the very day that your prayers were uttered, they were heard. And that shows us he prayed according to the will of God, for the word of God says that we know that if we pray according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that if he hears us, he will grant unto us the petitions that we desire of him. So Daniel was praying according to the will of God. But there was a delay. Why? This angel said, when I came, therefore, to answer the prayer, the prince of Persia withstood me until Michael, the archangel, came, and therefore delivered. So we find out that there's satanic obstacles. And we find Paul says, I want to come to you on several occasions, but Satan hindered me. We therefore see, as we are children of God, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world in high places. Oh, we do know that we face an enemy, a common enemy. We find that Satan would have our own testimony, personal testimony, be destroyed, and it can be destroyed in a moment's notice. In the time of victory comes the time when we might be defeated the worst. But now we find out that this is a planned, deliberate delay of the Lord. He could have come on call, but he didn't. Then we find out this, that he could have kept Lazarus from dying, but he didn't. Oh, he could have kept him alive. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He could have kept him from dying. Oh, in my life I've had those so near to me, and I've wondered why God allowed certain other things to happen, like other people live, or even an animal such as a cat or a dog outlive the person that I love so well. And I couldn't hardly understand at that time why God allowed such a thing. Why the Lord could have kept him from dying or kept her from dying. Why he has all power. And he answers prayers. He most certainly does. Now, the Lord Jesus could have kept Lazarus from dying, but he didn't. But praise the Lord. He could have left him in the grave, but he didn't. Oh, that's when we see the victory. And many times we see nothing but defeat. We see nothing but death. We see nothing but destruction. We see nothing but therefore annihilation of everything. But come on. God's on our side. God's still on the throne. And all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who they called according to his purpose. Everything's all right. I say this, oh my, we may be taken out and shot as martyrs in the next 5 years. Amen. Put us against a wall, and here goes the machine guns, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen. But oh my goodness, a lot. Everything's all right. He has everything under control. Many times, and we were just talking up here, while the announcement and so forth are going on, things come in our lives and we cannot understand, but as long as we move that little finger, we're all right, aren't we? Yeah, my. Oh, how marvelous it is to know that the Lord has everything. And He is the greatest. There's no power greater than our Lord. Now, after talking to Martha, she went to her sister, Mary, and says, and she went to him secretly and said, the Master's here and calleth for thee. All these times when we draw so close to the Lord and we draw nigh to God, He would draw nigh to us. And when the Lord's presence is felt in a special way, I know I'm in the very presence of the Lord Jesus. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. It's no such thing as getting out of the presence of our Lord. He is omnipresent, and because He is omniscient, all powerful, and He is all-knowing, and He's omnipotent, I'm in His presence at all times. I'm in the presence of every one of you here. I'm bodily present right up here. But I'm present to everyone here in this room, and I'm present to those on the boulevard because of space and barriers. But our blessed Savior, while He is sitting upon the throne of grace at this time, we're told to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain help in time of need. Let us say this, that while He is bodily present in heaven, yet He's present here. I do not say He's sitting in that chair. And I'm not saying this, that He's sitting upon the platform. He's bodily present in heaven, but because He's God, He transcends all limitations, all barriers, and no such thing as the child of God who's born again, and that for that matter, the sinner, getting out of His presence. Lord, boy, we're right there. Isn't it marvelous that we have know this, and as Dr. Harry Rimmer used to say, practicing the presence of the Lord, recognize that we are in His presence at all times, but there comes these extra special times. It may come through many tears, it may come through much suffering, it may come through much disappointment, heartache. It may come through some great joy and victory, but there are times when the Lord is so just a little bit nearer, it seems like. I saw him with Brother Mullen some years ago, 10, 11 years ago, when they had to get out of the Congo. They were killing so many. One mission board lost 36 and 20 missionaries in 24 hours. And he said, all of a sudden, one night, we were sitting on the front porch, and immediately we were surrounded by the natives. They found my .22, but they couldn't take it off the safety, and they couldn't shoot me. Said I'd been dead before. But says they got around us, and I looked there, and what was the disappointing thing was that some of our young men that we had been teaching in our Bible school, members of our church, were in the crowd. And all, they began to prick us with their spears, and I told my wife, honey, just 2 seconds and we'll be with the Lord. That's all it is. I said, well, I'd just like to ask you this. Did you feel the presence of the Lord there? Oh, good night, Brother Mark. He said, did we feel the presence of the Lord? Said, let me say this. It's just though that we could touch Him there. And I just told my wife, I says, we sure feel Him. Well, now we're going to see Him. And says, you know, they did this to us for several days until the airplanes from the United Nations came to rescue us. And said, when they put us in the place and took us away from the place, we were disappointed. that we had not died and gone to see the Lord. Amen. All these extra little times when we feel like Peter, James, and John, oh Lord, this is so good. Don't let this moment slip past us. Lord, it's good. Let's build 3 tabernacles. Lord, let's stay up here upon the mountain at all times. Yes. God gives us these mountain time experiences. And some of you young people coming here, Florida Bible College for the first time, God has worked a miracle in your life and you've seen Him answer prayers never before. And oh, how in joy you have deliciously enjoyed the presence of the Lord as you never have before. And you say, oh, if I could just have this kind of joy, it's like getting saved all over again. And all the glory of it. But you know what? We go on, then after a while we have to go down in the valley again. But later on we get up on the mountain again. And then we go down in the valley and then get up on the mountain. And after a while, as time goes on, we're going from one mountain peak to another. And it's just like taking steps from one mountain peak after another. And after a while, oh, you begin to enjoy the Lord and His presence so much, just like a highway. And you just bask in His glory and His presence. And you just know Him. Not a thing do you want to make. No decision is to be decided on without His direction. You say, you're preaching sinless perfection. Oh, no. Because the Word of God says, if we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves. Oh, yes, but I'm talking about enjoying the presence of the Lord here today. The Master's here and calleth for thee. Isn't it just a little bit different here this morning than just knowing this, that wherever you walk and talk, you're in the presence of the Lord, but there's just a little bit of a closeness of the presence of our blessed Savior here in this chapel service. As though we can just reach out, as Brother Mullen says, and touch Him. And we know that if God should claim us by death, immediately we'd see Him. What a glorious thing it is. And we can never get away from the Lord. Whether we live, we are the Lord's. Whether we die, we are the Lord's. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. The Master's here and calleth for thee. He comes to us secretly, individually, when we are saved. We say we at conversion. When we're born again, comes to us personally. That's why we believe and taking Christ as our personal Savior. He's our, not only is He a person Himself, but He's our own personal Savior. I know He saves the multitude, but He saved me individually. And I believe with all my heart that if I was the only sinner living, that had ever lived or should ever live, but a sinner that I am, God loved me so much that He would send His Son to pay for my sin alone. Oh, the time that I got to know the Lord. Oh, you must have been a terrible sinner, Brother Cameron, before you got saved. That's what two of our students asked me some years ago. Say, tell us, how did you get saved? How deep in sin did you get? They like to put it in their mouth like a sucker, you know, talk about terrible sin. Oh, I said, I was a terrible sinner. We knew it. Said, did you smoke grass? I said, the only grass I ever smoked was rabbit tobacco. Acid. I said, I don't know what that is. Oh, I know it's LSD, but no, I never did know that. Well, how deep in sin did you get as far as an 8.5-year-old child could get? Oh, 8.5 years old, didn't you have a great big boomerang? Bow! Salvage? Conversion? No. What did you do? I just took Jesus my Savior. Well, why are you happy now? I said, my goodness, do I have to get down and deep in sin to get happy? Well, why are you happy now? I said, I never got over the glory of it. Oh, so. Billy Sunday, I've said this so many times, Billy Sunday was preaching there in Chattanooga when I was just 8.5 years old. He was the only preacher, first preacher that I could understand what he was saying. Oh, I had good old Southern Baptist cousins and Southern Baptist uncles that preached, and when they preached, they got up storming, yelling. And I'd mimic them, you know, and I didn't know what I was saying. I was just doing what they do. I never heard But I heard old Billy Sunday get up and say, "You are a sinner." Boy, that's plain. You, and I knew it, and you're on your way to hell. Boy, I believed it. But he said, God loved you so much that he sent his son to pay for your sins. And after paying for him, he rose again from the dead, and he, the Lord Jesus, will save you if you trust him. So I trusted him. Did you jump over? Oh, yes. People said, didn't you jump and shout? No. I didn't know I was supposed to. But I just took Jesus my Savior. Amen. And it was so personal. And the Master's come. Oh, I'm so glad that night. And then that old big old auditorium, Billy Sunday auditorium, made of just old wood, you know, sawdust on the floor. But I trusted Christ. Then, you know, the Master's here and call it for thee in consecration. Some of you right now, it's just as though that you got saved again when you say, "Yea, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Thy will be done." The greatest thing in the whole wide world is to know the will of God and get in it. I've said this so many times. When Miss Mary and I came down here in the Miami section 15 years ago, and I left Tennessee Temple, I thought I had arrived spiritually. There was not another lesson that I could learn. It's all perfect. I learned it all. I knew it all. But you know what? When I got down here, I found out I hadn't even been to grammar school or kindergarten. Boy, that's when we started to live. Many is the time of disappointment. Many is the time of heartache. Miss Mary and I have been on our knees holding to the four horns of the altar. And brother, mingling our tears with each other, but then getting up and laughing. Why? We knew that we were in the directive will of God. And whatever was coming was by the will of God. Let the righteous smite me, for it is kindness. Oh, that's good preaching, but hard living. But you know what? As we get there, how marvelous it is to know if we're in the directive will of God, that anything that comes in our life, and there's been many, death. Oh, there's been much suffering. There's been much disappointment. Many things have been taken away from us. But oh my, the joy of it. It could not have happened unless God so willed. Thy will be done. Oh, the joy of saying, Lord, I'll be what you want me to do. Oh, I had a struggle finally year after years to go to the Bible school. Then when I got up to the Bible school, there was a struggle for what the Lord wanted me to do. I began to have a struggle of being a missionary. Oh, my goodness. I was just really fighting it. Was I ever? And I got in class one day to preach the lesson. 200 of us in there, and I got up and used the scripture. A man of Macedonia said, come over and help us. And then I added, hear my, send me. Boy, I preached a lot for 40 minutes, you know. I'd stop and be very eloquent. Who will come over and help us? Hear my Lord, send me. I no more meant that than anything. Went into chapel and they had some people there from Africa. And oh my, they put on the screen there all of all their need, and then they had the natives to make H-E-L-P. Well, brother, I like to die. I said, Lord, you're getting me where the hair grows short. Lord, what in the world? Well, I went downtown and working there in the restaurant for my meals and got in there, and every time I took that old child boy right there, scrape, help, you know. Every time I was down there, 5th and Hennepin, and these old streetcars are used to, you know, when they had them, it'd go across there, double, and just sound like help, 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 help. Finally, I said, Lord, I'll go. Yes, Lord, I'll go. And then the peace and the joy. But when I came back to the dormitory room, oh, I felt like a martyr. I came in, and there was my roommate. God bless it. That dear roommate was so spiritual. His face was that long. Never knew what to smile. Oh, and just a few days later, he asked to be removed. Mark Cameron wasn't spiritual enough on me. I guess that's it. I always like to have fun in the Lord. Amen. And so I got there and he said, what's the matter? I said, I've had a struggle for about 3 or 4 hours. He said, what is it? I says, I finally said yes to the Lord to be a missionary. God bless you. So he said, come on, let's kneel. So we knelt by his bed, and he dedicated me to Africa. So next morning, I found out they had an African prayer band, 7 o'clock. I went. That was the last time I went for Africa. Then it went on, and I said, Lord, we had a man get up there and say, how South America, my goodness, they told us that in Africa for every one missionary they had 45,000 people. Then they told us in South America they had 80,000 for every, oh Lord, there it is. But the next week they had some people from Latin America, that is Central America, and they said for every one missionary they had 110 people. Boy, that's it. So then we heard of India. At that time we could go to China. So I was just getting to go around and around and around. I said, Lord, thy will be done. I don't know where you want me. So I got this idea, and for years, years gone, I said, the Lord just wanted me to be willing. Willing to be a missionary. Willing to say yes. Willing to go. Willing to be. Thy will be done. And you know, 22 years later, everything was going my way. Everything was all right. The Holy Spirit says, I want you to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I knew it. Boy, 22 years, finally, I'd have gone the first year. I'd gone the second year. I'd have gone just when the Holy Spirit had led. I never dreamed that I was going to come down here. And then look what has happened with this. And then with Florida Bible College, with Dr. Stanford, look out here. My, to be in the will of God and know it and stay in it. That's when the Holy Spirit comes to us and the Lord comes to us, the Father comes to us, God comes to us in these secret times individually. And we know the Master's here and calleth for us. Yes, in conversion, in consecration, but oh, praise God, in the coming of our Lord. We do know when the Lord Jesus comes after the tribulation, all eyes shall look upon Him and see Him, and all nations shall mourn of Him. But you know when He comes at the rapture? It's going to be a secret rapture. Well, He's just going to come for His own. Those who have His seal, the foundation of God, stand assured, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. The trumpet is going to sound. And everyone on that sound, that wavelength, everyone who's been blood bought, everyone who's saved by grace through faith, will be taken up, oh my, and we know the Master's here, and calleth for thee. What a glorious day. I always give this, you know, when we live in Chattanooga, we live between Highway 11 and 41, about 3/4 of a mile between each, but about 3 o'clock in the morning one time, about in May, had the windows open. One of those big old semi trucks, I don't know which highway it was, he just went, boop, boop, boop. Boy, just raised me up just like that. I got up, Mayor didn't make a move. I said, the old girl's not going up. I said, my goodness. And I said, Lord, is that the trumpet? And so the Lord said, no. I said, how do I know? Boy, it brought me right out of bed, you know. He said, you wouldn't have time to ask. Amen? But oh my, how we are looking for that time for the coming of the Lord. Uncle Bob Moyer, that taught me so much of the Word of God, talks about his little boy. And oh my, he began to tell how he loved that little child. And I said, the little fellow got diphtheria many years ago before they had the antibiotics for it and so forth, anti-diphtheria shots and so forth. He said, they quarantined the home, and the only way I could see the little boy is come upon the front porch, and they'd bring his little white bed there into the living room. I could look through the window and see him. And said, for days, I looked at that little fella, and on one occasion, it seems like the Holy Spirit says, Bob, I want it. Oh, I said, Lord, that's the only child I got. That's the only one I've got, Lord. But you know, he said, on this Sunday, I was there on the little boy's 5th birthday, and I said, Lord, you can have him. And the Lord took him immediately. And said, we exchanged that little white bed for a little white casket, and we took it out to Hillside Cemetery, tucked it under the sod there. And he says, you know, as during his lifetime, and he'd go to bed in the afternoon, I couldn't study at all when he wound up. I thought I could study when he was asleep, but I couldn't. I could get more studying done when he's made all his racket. And when he's asleep in the afternoon, I'd say, oh, Mother, wake him up. She said, he's sleeping so good. Let him sleep a little longer. And so he says, you know, since that little boy has been placed there in the casket 18 years ago, so when I get discouraged, I just get in my car and go out to Hillside Cemetery and go by that little mound. And I begin to tell the Lord, oh, how weak I am and how lonely I am. And I said, Lord, won't you wake him? Won't you wake him? And the Lord said, no, he's sleeping so good. Let him rest just a little longer. As years went by, Dr. Moyer sickened and died. And we took him out. And we placed him right beside his, that precious little mound there, Sammy. Dr. Riley was very old at this time, and he preached the message, but just 3 years later, Dr. Riley died. And took his body out. And we buried him not too far from Bob and little Sammy. I just hope I'm alive to come, Lord. Is that not okay? But you know what? Oh, I'd like to be up there at Hillside Cemetery. I'd just give anything if I was alive and up there when the trumpet is sounded. And you know it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, my. I can hear Uncle Bob say, Sammy! WB! The Master's here! Call us for us. Amen. Up we'll go. He's coming. The Lord Jesus is coming soon. We which are alive remain to the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds. The clouds should be in clouds. A cloud from Miami, a cloud from New York, a cloud from Jerusalem, a cloud everywhere in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Secretly, the Master's here and calleth for thee. God bless you. Thank you.